This morning, we are very happy to have Dr. Daniel Pipes with us. And Dr. Pipes is founded in 1990, the Middle East Forum, and promotes American interests in the Middle East. In addition to briefing U.S. government officials, testifying before Congress, conducting studies for executive branch agencies. And he is a distinguished fellow. He's a Tau Distinguished Visiting Fellow at the Hoover Institution of Stanford University. And Daniel is just back from the Middle East and is here to give his current assessment on what we have been talking about in the Middle East, and how much of a powder keg is it? Is Syria, Egypt, what is the next really bad piece? And what does it mean for Israel, especially with a possibly nuclear Iran? Dr. Pipes is here to answer all of these questions. Good morning, Daniel. Welcome to our program.
Good morning. Thank you.
So where do we start?
Well, Syria is the place to start, I think.
So when we talk about Syria, we've just been reading about journalists being killed, and there has been uprising again. If you were the regime, the Ba'athist regime in Syria right now, Bashar Assad, and you were watching all this, would you be scared about maybe your next in line of what happened to Mubarak?
Oh, it's much worse than what happened to Mubarak. Mubarak was the victim of a coup d'etat by his fellow generals. This is more like what happened in Libya. It's a real revolution. And there are reports that suggest that Bashar al-Assad has sent his children out of the country, and I think that makes sense. I would be preparing my plane out of the country, too.
I bet you would, yes.
Yeah,
I think the issue here is they can do what they want to do. It's their country. I think the issue here is the United States' position in relation to what's going on in Syria. That's what I'm a little more interested in.
Well, there are two different ways of looking at this, which are quite different. There's the humanitarian way to look at the interests of the Syrian people and the deaths and try and bring that to a close. And there's the strategic way, which is to look at the interests of the United States. And those two are not exactly aligned, because from a humanitarian point of view, what's taking place in Syria right now is obviously quite awful.
Let's stick with that for a moment. Is it worse than what's going on in North Korea or Zimbabwe? Or in Burma, or in China, or in many other parts of the world? Is the humanitarian so-called crisis in Syria even at anywhere near the level approaching what's going on, let's say, in North Korea?
I don't think that's a useful comparison.
I think it is a dynamic situation
in Syria.
Well, because it's new. Because it's new, because the situation in North Korea has been going on for 50 or 60 years, so it's not dynamic because it's been chronic versus Syria, which is new. Is that why it doesn't? How is the humanitarian situation different in Syria than in North Korea?
In that it's unstable, and there's an opportunity for change, and that the regime is weak, and so we can focus on humanitarian concerns, or we can focus on U.S. policy interests, and they're not the same. If one's interested in on the humanitarian level, one does one's best to end the fighting and doesn't pay much attention to what follows. If one is looking at it from the point of view of U.S. interests, one looks at the regime, at the impact of, say, the Russian and Chinese support for it, the impact that the fall of the regime might have on the Iranian regime, and it looks at it quite differently. I think we should be looking at it from a strategic foreign policy point of view, not a humanitarian point of view, particularly as Syrians are not known to be, friends of the United States. It's a long history of hostility. From this point of view, what's taking place in Syria right now is something of an opportunity for the United States. Because
an opportunity, what do you think the opportunity is? Do you think the opportunity is for us to go in and foment regime change, or would you suggest that
I don't think we should go in. I think the what's happening now is really quite to our interest. In contrast to Tunisia and Egypt, which were against our interests, what's taking place in Syria is in our interest, in that this is weakening an enemy of the United States and Israel. It's weakening the Iranians, who are the paramount enemy of the United States in the region. So I would tend to just leave be and let events take their course. I don't think that we want to intervene. I don't think we want to help Bashar al-Assad. I don't think we particularly want to help his opposition. I'm inclined to do as we are doing now, which is pretty much hands off.
I'm not sure if it's hands off. I understand we are arming the so-called rebels. But let's move on from Syria. Let's look at Iran. Let's look at that situation. That's also big in the news today. What are your thoughts on that conflict between the United States and Iran, and Iran and Israel?
Well, before getting to that, if we are arming the Syrian opposition, that's news to me. I'm not aware of it. As for Iran, well, that is the big issue. The Iranian regime is simultaneously the most aggressive, most dangerous, and also the most vulnerable, other than the Syrian one, and that there's a vast majority of Iranians who don't like the regime, don't like the ideology it espouses, and want something else. So we have both a great danger in the short term and a great opportunity in the longer term. The great challenge to U.S. policy is how to take care of the short-term dangers and reap the long-term rewards. The fundamental question facing us, as well as the Israelis now, is are we ready to use force to prevent the mullahs in Tehran from getting nuclear bombs? And my view, in short, is that I'd rather use force to stop it than to allow it, cognizant of the fact that using force would bring about many, many dangerous consequences. I still think that I would rather face those than facing Iran with nuclear weapons.
So do you think, I guess the current thinking is with the Obama administration that they don't have the gumption or the wherewithal to actually mount a preemptive strike. The conventional wisdom that I've read, anyway, suggests that they may let Israel do that. I mean, what do you think Israel would, what do you think the United States would do, Daniel, if they knew that Israel was going to launch a preemptive strike? Do you think the United States would stand in the way, or do you think they would let them go ahead with it?
Well, let me start by saying that I think that we all don't really know what we think we know. That I believe there's a great deal of disinformation out there. And that would say the Secretary of Defense makes a statement, or the Israeli Prime Minister. That might well be more for Iranian consumption than for our own, and it might well not be accurate. So I believe we'll only know what's taking place now, years hence, in a fog.
Right, right. How you said the use of force? You prefer the use of force against Iran. Exactly how would that manifest?
Well, just to finish on the prior question, I don't believe there's any reason to think the Obama administration will not use force. I think it's a completely open question. I think we on the outside don't know enough to judge whether it will or not.
Define the use of force.
Well, it could be conventional. It could be aircraft carrying...
Well, I don't mean that. I'm talking about the long-term goal. What would be, I mean, in Iraq, we're sitting there in Iraq in that disaster and quagmire. What would be, whatever mechanism we use to get going to Iran, what would be the purpose of it? Would American troops be stationed there? Would they be there for years and years and years? I mean, what would we throw out the regime and put in a phony Democrat regime like we did in Iraq? I mean, what exactly would be a goal there? Just taking out the nuclear weapons and leaving, or what?
Just a small correction. We're not in Iraq anymore. been no U.S. active forces there since a couple months. But
but the quagmire, the disaster is still there. The disaster is still there.
I don't particularly see the disaster, but that's a different subject. It's certainly better off than it was under Saddam Hussein.
I disagree with that entirely, but can you stick with Iran? Because they're certainly not better off there in Iraq. And if you think they are, talk to the Christians that have been exiled from that country if they think they're better off now than they were under Saddam Hussein. But let's go back to Iran.
You're dropping the little comments. I'm having to reply to them. Yes, the Christians are worse off, but the great majority of the country is better off.
There's no evidence of that. Let's go back to Iran.
About Iran? I would say that I would encourage a strike on the nuclear infrastructure as opposed to a regime change. I would not like to see American-led troops moving into Tehran, removing the government, and so forth. I think we should limit ourselves to striking the nuclear infrastructure and not more.
What would happen if the United States just took a hands-off policy, Dr. Pipes, just said, okay, we're not getting involved. This is a Middle Eastern problem. We are going back and dealing with our own economic issues. You folks in the Middle East, you figure it out yourself. What would happen in your mind if we took that hands-off approach?
Well, I would make it slightly less hands-off approach. I would make it, and I find this somewhat appealing. Look, Middle Easterners, you've got a problem. If you need our help, come and ask us for it. As opposed to the way we tend to do business, including now, which is to take the lead. I have sympathy with the idea that this is a more a local problem than our problem, and that we should get the Saudis, get the neighbors to ask us to help with this problem of Iranian nuclear buildup. The Israelis, of course, not just on our own. Move in and take care of the problem. I think we since World War II, the U.S. has been too forward, whether it be NATO or Vietnam or Iraq. We tend to take the lead and then others get irritated with us. I think we should, as you suggest, stand back a bit, allow others to have to ask us, to urge us to take care of the problem. And then we're in a politically much stronger situation.
And if we take a hands-off approach, what is your long-term vision with respect will happen with Iraq? If we have a nuclear Iran, there's two questions. One, if we have a nuclear Iran, what will the Saudis' response be? There are some in the Middle Eastern who watch such things who have posited that if Iran becomes nuclear, the Saudis will follow suit, and you'll have other moderate, unquote, Arab countries trying to do the same. And what do you think a nuclear Middle East is going to look like, and will that be a stable force in the Middle East, or a destabilizing force?
I think a nuclear Iran under the mullahs would be a game changer. I think it would be enormously destabilizing. I think the Iranians would threaten to use arms, to use nuclear arms. I think they might well do so. I see no advantages to anyone in this. It would be a disaster. And therefore, that's why I conclude that it's a good idea for the Israelis or the Americans to use force, assuming economic sanctions won't work, which is my assumption. I think the Iranian leadership will pay whatever price is necessary in terms of starvation and other deprivations in order to build the nuclear weapons. And so therefore, I see economic sanctions as a useful step, but not a sufficient step.
Who's going to invite the United States to enter into the fray at that level? Which country?
Well, I think there would be a number of countries that are worried enough that they would ask the U.S. government to do this, but they don't feel they need to because we do it on our own. And in particular, the Saudis would.
So long term and short term here. I think it looks like we will be disengaging in certain aspects of the Middle East. We pulled out of Iraq. We are set to pull out of Afghanistan at some point. And with respect to the Middle East, especially with Syria. I do think that we shouldn't take this opportunity to try to regime change. Even in Iran, where it seems like there's not a great love for the Ayatollah or for Ahmadinejad among the younger people in Iran, and you don't think we should be we should take hands off Roshian, or we should be taking advantage of that and trying to do whatever we can, or maybe Israel's already doing it with Mossad, who knows, with respect to the government there?
I would like to make life as difficult as possible for the government, but I do not want to see American troops going in and overthrowing the regime. I think that would be a mistake. I think that would embroil us in something larger than we're ready to deal with. I think it would delegitimize the succeeding government. No, we can't do everything. We can't stop the nuclear weapons. We can't fix the problems of Iran.
Daniel Pipes, thank you so much for being our guest. We appreciate
My
you
pleasure.
Coming on, and we'd like to hear from you again. Probably we'll check in with you in a few weeks to see how things are going, and we thank you so much for your viewpoint.